You're concerned.
Debbie,
yeah. I can. I know that Debbie's going to be.
I would like to call to order the meeting of the Grover Beach City Council on Monday, October 18, 2010. And first order of business is a moment of silence. I would ask you all to join me in that. And after that, please stay standing for the flag salute. And I would like to mention to all of you in the audience, as well as those people at home, that a moment of silence tonight. Please keep in mind the mayor is not here this evening as a result of his father passed away this past week. So please join me in a moment of silence. Thank you very much. I would now ask that we have the flag salute. And I would like to introduce to you Kylie Johnson. She is an 8-year-old student, third grade at Grover Heights Elementary School. Kylie says that her father taught her math and that her favorite that is her favorite subject in school. And she also enjoys art and reading. She likes living on the Central Coast because she says that it is a very beautiful place to live. Kylie says she would like to attend Cal Poly.
One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thanks for coming, sweetheart.
Donna, may we have a roll call, please?
Here.
Councilmember Myers?
Here.
Councilmember Peterson?
Here.
And Mayor Nichols?
Here. The next item on the agenda is the closed session announcement. Council, would you handle that, please?
Certainly. Honorable Mayor, Council members, members of the public, on Monday, October 14th, City Council met in closed session on one item, and that was labor negotiation with the Grover Beach Police Officers Association. There were no reportable actions taken.
Thank you. The next item is the agenda review. And any member of the council, do you have anything on the agenda that you wish to pull or comment on?
None here, huh?
No.
Mayor? I'll make a motion that we accept the agenda.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor, if I could.
Yes.
I would request that the council continue item number 7. The reason for that is the lead staff member associated with that item, Bruce Buckingham, went ill today. And I would prefer to have this item wait until he could be in attendance. So I'm thinking that we would reschedule this for November 1st.
We shall do that.
Okay.
Okay, with that, go ahead with
the
motion.
So I'll make a motion that we accept the agenda as presented, with the exception of item 7 being rescheduled to our November 1st meeting.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion passes. We move on to the ceremonial calendar. And the first item is the proclamation declaring October 21, 2010 as Keeping the Lights On After School. After School, a national celebration of after-school programs on October 21, 2010 promotes the critical importance of quality after-school programs in the lives of children, their families, and their communities. And whereas more than 28 million children in the United States have parents who work outside the home, and 15.1 million children have no place to go after school. And whereas many after-school programs across the country are facing funding shortfalls so severe that they are being forced to close their doors and turn off the lights. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Grover Beach hereby proclaims October 21, 2010 as Lights on After School Day, endorses Lights on After School, and commits our community to engage in innovative after-school programs and activities that ensure the lights stay on and the doors stay open for all children after school. Ladies, would you come forward?
Thank you so much for letting us come and sharing it in your support of our programs. I'm the site director at Fairgrove Bright Futures After School Program, and Dana is the site director at Grover Beach Elementary. We both serve over 100 children every day after school, which is a free program that they're all involved in for homework, enrichment, tutoring, and enriching their lives and letting their families be able to work while their children are having fun. So we appreciate the support, and hopefully maybe the mayor might be able to attend. Yeah. You've invited him, so hopefully.
I think we've invited everybody here. Yeah.
Thank
so
you so
much. So if
you guys
come, that'd be great. Just to
thank
show
you.
Your support.
Go ahead.
And I appreciate the proclamation.
Thank you very much. Ladies, appreciate your coming.
Mr. Brink. And further on, it says, as you heard from the Vice Mayor, it commits our community to engage in innovative after-school programs that ensure kids have a place to go. And having heard that, I think it would be nice if we could get staff to do something about putting together a schedule that would see what the schools are going and how well it's running and what's happening, and report a little more in detail what you said. And bring this back to the City Council somewhere in the next 3 or 4 or 6 months, whatever's convenient. So we'll have a report, a fairly complete report of what's happening. So would that be all right with the school? All right, well then? All right, so as we can just have, we'll talk about that with staff after this over, about when that can be done. So thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Okay, the next item on the agenda is the proclamation, which I would like Councilmember Bright to take care of.
Thank you. Declaring the week of October 23rd through October 31st, 2010, as Red Ribbon Week in the City of Grover Beach. Whereas tobacco, alcohol, and other drug use and abuse represents a serious public health and safety threat to our city, our county, California, and throughout the United States. Whereas it is important for communities, schools, and individuals throughout San Luis Obispo County to work together to eliminate the demand for these substances and to promote programs that support commitment to a healthy, drug-free lifestyle. And whereas the Red Ribbon Celebration will be observed across the United States during Red Ribbon Week, October 23rd through 31st, 2010. Whereas parents, youth, government, business, law enforcement, schools, religious institutions, service organizations, social services, health services, media, and the general public will demonstrate their commitment to drug-free communities by wearing and displaying red ribbons during this observance. Whereas Red Ribbon Week highlights local substance abuse prevention programs that involve youth and parents yearly through local community coalitions and numerous countywide organizations such as Friday Night Live, DUI Prevention Task Force, and the Slow Substance Abuse Prevention Alliance, and Slow County Drug and Alcohol Services. Whereas the City of Grover Beach further commits resources to help the success of the Red Ribbon Celebration and year-round tobacco, alcohol, and other drug prevention efforts. whereas Red Ribbon Week 2010 will be highlighted by all three elementary schools' use of legal drugs.
Chief. Should have known. Yeah.
Thank you, members of the council, Mayor Pro Tem Nichols, Mayor Nichols. It is good time to recognize this week. It gives us an opportunity as a city to recognize Red Ribbon Week and what we can do for our kids. It kind of coincides with the lights out. I mean, keep the lights on at the schools and the programs, and the commitment to our kids and our community is vital to keep making our community successful. So thank you for this proclamation and the commitment that the city brings to our communities and our schools.
Thank you very much, Chief. The next item on the agenda is public communications. Any member of the public may address the council on any item that is not on the program this evening. Not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest that is within the jurisdiction of this council. The council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the council cannot act on items not on the agenda. Does anybody have anything that they wish to bring forth?
Good evening, Jeff Lee, the Vice Chair of the Parks, Rec, and Beautification Commission. And I'm not even going to try and say Red Ribbon as many times as Councilmember Wright just did.
So, I don't blame you. It wasn't easy.
It wasn't easy, exactly. Just want to give you a quick update of what's happening in Grover Beach. Obviously, the summer concert series and the farmer's market were a rousing success this year. And wanted to let you know that we're already planning for next year. So if you have any ideas, feel free to pass them along and do that. And then let you know that there are some events coming up. The most recent one would be the Carved Pumpkin Contest on October 29th. Always a fun time, and that's, again, October 29th from 5 to 7, and that's over at the Ramona Garden Park. And it's never too early to start planning your holiday season, so put aside December 4th, Saturday, for the annual holiday parade, and then that'll be starting on at 10 a.m. Out on 16th Street. And it's one of the only daytime parades in the county, so it's always good to have the community come out and support that.
Anybody have anything they wish to discuss, or I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, before moving forward, perhaps we should see if there are any other people that wish to comment, participate in public comment.
Comment on what?
Participate in the public comment period.
Yeah. Okay. I have asked for public communications. We don't have any. No public comments.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Then we go to the consent agenda.
Okay. Motion. And I will make a motion that we accept the items on the consent agenda as presented.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion passes. Moving on to regular business. The next item, number 5 on the agenda, is consideration of sending a letter in support of the Pismo Beach current mayor, Mary Ann Reese, who is apparently a candidate for the Coastal Commission, and I believe the city manager, Mr. Perrault.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. As you know, Kacho Asajian, our current supervisor, is serving as the Coastal Commission representative, appointed by the governor, I might add. There is a strong potential that he may be vacating that position, especially if he's successful in the November election. Consequently, the governor's office has communicated with the county, indicating that they wanted to begin the process to fill the position. And the way that is done is that the mayor's select committee has been asked to actually nominate a person or to forward to the governor's office for further consideration. The mayor's select committee is composed of all of the mayors within the county. And it's actually set out in state law as to what its authority is. As you can see in the staff report, Mayor Marianne Reese from our neighboring city has expressed a strong interest in receiving that appointment. She is currently the alternate, serving right behind Cacho, and is very, as I mentioned, very interested in filling that position on a permanent basis. As we all know, Marianne has had a lot of experience in the area. She's served on her time, or someone else, a council member yourselves, may show an interest in wanting to serve on that in that capacity. So that's staff's recommendation, and I'm available to answer any questions you might have.
Okay, do we have any questions from council?
Yes.
Yes. Has anyone else expressed an interest in being nominated that we know about from the
Not that I'm aware of.
All right. Thank you very much.
Not you?
Not me.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
You think I was lined up to get that? No.
I don't have questions, but I have comments once we get to that stage.
Let's wait till we bring it back. Okay, this is a regular business item, so I will open it to public comments. If anybody in the public would like to make comments regarding this matter, step forward. There being none, we will bring it back to the close public communication, bring it back to the council. Your comments?
I think I'd just like to support Marianne in that. I think that she's demonstrated very good leadership with the city of Pismo. She has a lot of experience, and I think that she's very well equipped, having been the mayor and councilwoman in Pismo for many, many years, to look after our best interests there, too. So I'm very happy that she's willing to step forward. I think we ought to definitely support that.
I agree. I think we'll be well represented. So I can make a motion if we're ready.
I want to make sure everybody knows I really like Marianne, and I wasn't trying to get rid of her. I'm happy she applied, so I just wondered who else might be looking for it. So.
Okay. Motion. Go ahead.
Yes. Okay. I'll make a motion that the council authorize the mayor to send a letter to support the candidacy of Pismo Beach Mayor Reese to fill a position on the Coastal Commission.
A second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor? Favor,
aye.
Please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? No opposition. Passes 4-0. The next item on the agenda is the local street rehabilitation program and recommendation regarding West Grand Avenue. And I believe that is Public Works Director Gregory Ray. Can you catch the lights, Jim?
Good evening. I selected seven areas for repair based on a available construction budget of approximately $216,000. These overhead aerial photos identify where those areas are, with the exception of one. I might note that area four is shown improperly or incorrectly, and I can try to show you that correctly on the overhead here.
So the ones we have in our book is incorrect, is what you're saying, for area four?
That's correct. Just slightly.
There you go.
You see on the overhead behind me here, area four is actually just slightly west of 8th Street instead of being just slightly east of 8th Street.
Mm-hmm. Where it's red up there.
The red area behind me. On the, if you can see that, hopefully you can. The areas identified as 1 through 7 are identified in order of severity based on my field review. Areas 1 through 4 in particular are pretty much self-evident as to why they were chosen. They're very rough. The ride is really rough, and the road is in exceptionally bad shape. The remainder of the areas are somewhat subjective. They were based on my best attempt to have the best possible impact on ride quality using the available funds. I think, perhaps a person might think one area is more important than the other, but this was my best attempt at it. So. hopefully the project, if there are available funds, can be extended to some of the other areas that are also identified on the attachments. Attachment 1, which I can show you here. Attachment 1 identifies the estimated costs associated with each repair area. My recommendation is to remove and replace completely the failed areas 1 through 7, and that equals approximately $270,000. And then to slurry seal and restripe one half of the street for the entire block in each area that gets repaired. So see if that makes sense to you. For example, looking at area 4, the corrected area 4 here, if this area were to be removed and replaced, then the half street extending from replaced. If funds remain after completion of these areas, as I mentioned earlier, additional slurry sealing and repairs can be completed up to the total amount of excess funding that's available for this project. Areas that cannot be fixed with this project could possibly be fixed with future street rehab funds or in conjunction with the storm drain or future West Grand enhancement projects, which are also being considered in the near future. Funding for the project could be made available by transferring funding from CIP 384. That's the South 4th Street project, which has it came in under budget on the bid, in the amount of $80,000. And CIP 386, the Long Branch Demonstration Project, in the amount of $216,000 for a total budget of $296,000. Now, a portion of that funding will need to be used for design and inspection work. It'll be slightly less than the full $296,000 available to put on the street. Funding transferred from the Long Branch Demonstration Project would be replaced with funding from the Local Street Rehabilitation Project, CIP 283, in fiscal year 2012, which would allow for the Long Branch Demonstration Project to be completed in the summer of 2011. So that project wouldn't go away. It would just slide back to the summer of 2011. Based on the discussion in the previous council meeting, I am recommending a April to May construction window for this project. And essentially, that concludes my presentation. If I'm available to answer any questions if you would like.
Okay. Do we have any questions?
Well, I guess I have a question. You said based on discussion with council, I guess you mean the last meeting, he would recommend April to May. If you had your own choice, it may be putting you on the spot. Without council guidance, what would your recommendation be?
Don't
answer. We don't think you should. So.
Well, okay. I think I can answer that. I think excluding any outside considerations other than just weather and funding and time to put together design and get the project out to bid. If you just look at those, we could probably have the project out to bid in say a month and a half to 2 months tops. So it'd be nice to just get right on it and get to work on it.
The section of the street that's under construction at one time, is that a fair statement? Maybe a small fraction is a bad term, but certainly not the whole street at one time.
It seems like at least the repair areas that are identified here as areas 1 through 7, a lot of them are localized to a single lane. So there's another lane available for traffic.
Yes.
I would presume that it will still be a slight inconvenience depending on the volume of traffic. But I don't expect it to be a severe inconvenience. Probably late at the last part of the project, which would be a single slurry seal project, essentially.
Yes, sure.
Those contractors tend to like to come in and do all that work in one day if they can, or 2 days if possible. So they put down quite a bit of slurry seal. On those days, the difficulties would be a little greater.
Yeah, but that's about 2 days or so you're talking about, basically, for slurry.
Should go very quick, yeah.
All right, okay. I am happy with that. Thank you.
Thank you. That was a good report. I was able to follow everything you were saying, and I appreciate that because I don't know anything about street repair. I did, though, I received something in my mail packet regarding asphalt rubber aggregate membrane. Do you know anything about that product?
I do.
Do you have an opinion?
I do. without going to too great of a detail, tires and other rubber products, mostly discarded rubber products, can be ground up and can be introduced into an asphalt and aggregate slurry mixture that can be placed as an interlayer underneath a final asphalt pavement surface coat. They also can be placed as a final layer as a what we call a cape seal, which is really a very thin, like a slurry seal, almost like a double slurry seal, and you can place rubberized products in that, and it has some benefit in that it typically is very black, which is nice because the striping shows up well, and it's typically very flexible. In both circumstances, the flexibility is a benefit. But there are some other problems with it. For one thing, as beautiful as the Central Coast is, it's all going to do a similar product or collecting a number of funds over a period of years to do a fairly significant project. We probably wouldn't get good bids on a project like that.
I see. So it's just really kind of out of our price range.
It's a great product. It's just hard to get when you're this far away from L.A., essentially.
I see. Thank you.
Any other questions? I have only one question. The slurry seal that we're talking about, would you have the slurry seal done at the completion of all of the repair, or would you do the slurry seal block by block?
I think in the interest of getting the best possible bid, you'd want to do it all at once.
So none of the slurry seal would be done until all of the repair work was done?
Yes.
Okay. Then that would be, well, okay. Let's go one step further with that then. If this goes out to bid, the bidding process is going to take a couple of months, which is going to put us close to mid to end December, which means construction probably would not start until January.
We could slide it to January. Right.
Be hard to get it started before then, wouldn't it?
It would be tough, yeah. At least a month bidding.
Yeah, minimum. Okay. So if we go on this right away, then we might be ready to go with construction in January. How long are we looking at construction-wise before the slurry seal would be applied?
Probably worst-case scenario, a month.
That's great.
Okay. All right, very good.
Okay. No, I don't have a question. Maybe some comments later, but I'm not sure.
Okay. This is an item that I would like to open up to the public for any public comments. So anybody in the public that wishes to comment on this item, please come forward. There being none, we'll bring it back to the council. Do we have any more comments, questions, or discussion?
Just a comment. I'm totally at peace with what... our engineer has told us in what his report says and how he means to do it myself. And I certainly think we ought to get this job done and in the ground as quick as we can. But I'm aware that a lot of people think we should not do it during the holiday season. So sliding it over into January, we'd also be at peace with that.
Have been specified by Greg to be worked, and I agree with the way he set this up insofar as priorities are concerned. I did have a brief discussion with him that he will stay on this project, and if, in fact, he's been rather conservative in setting forth the figures, and he is going to stay on top of it, and if we can do all nine because of economics, he will continue to stay on that and work towards that end. Is that correct?
That's correct. I mean, hopefully the bids would come in slightly less than my estimate, and also there's a small contingency built into this. The project the project bid can be structured such that we could take advantage of excess funds and the contingency and pretty much spend all the money. So, you know, there's a potential for the project to scope to spread out to those areas, you know, 8 through 8, 9, and maybe even a few of the others that are out there.
Very good. Okay. You would like to make a motion?
I would move to staff recommendations contained on page 2 of the report, and also move that we direct staff to move the construction date to a place in early January, if at all possible. Early in January, as we could possibly do it.
I'll second that.
Okay, is that clear as far as what the council is asking?
Yes, it's clear, and I appreciate the direction. I think I might comment, you know, there is some risk that rain could cause some delays.
Yes.
If we start in January. And we, you know, as always, there's a bit of a risk associated with constructing in the winter. Now, the paving work is not at risk. Generally, you can pave even in the wet weather. You can find, you know, periods, day or two here and there where that work can be done. But the slurry seal is typically what gets delayed if you have a consistent cold weather pattern. So, you know, that's just something to keep in mind. We may end up with the patchwork paving and having to wait for a predicted span of a couple of weeks of warm weather to get that slurry seal down.
We appreciate that, but we also appreciate the fact that you're going to get on it right away and get, for the benefit of the people that live here and the visitors that come here, we'll get this done as fast as we can.
Yes.
That we appreciate. We have a motion and a second. I believe this does not need a roll call vote, does it, Council?
No, it doesn't.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
Next agenda. Okay, let's move on to council committee reports. Karen Bright.
I had no committee reports during this last period. I have them all this week.
Okay, very good. Mr. Myers?
I've had none since my last reports. They're coming up in this month as well.
Very good. Okay, Ms. Peterson.
Same situation. Two or three meetings this week, but none last week before.
Okay. The only comment I have is we have not had any homeless program meetings yet. That's coming up this week also. We did have a meeting of the sanitation district. I know some of you have been concerned about some of the articles that were written with reference to the sanitation district. I would like to comment that as a result of those articles and a number of questions that had been raised, I attended the Oceano Community Service District meeting last week, as they were one of the organizations that had a number of questions. And Mr. Wallace, who is the administrator for the district, sanitation district, was in attendance. He gave a presentation to the sanitation district, and apparently the presentation was very adequate. As the end of it, they were asked if they had any questions relating to the sanitation district and any of the articles and comments that have been made recently, and there were absolutely no questions asked whatsoever. So apparently all of the members of the sanitation district were satisfied with the presentation made by Mr. Wallace. And I have nothing further on that item other than that. So do we want to go to, let's go to the improvement agency next. Let's recess or dismiss the, recess the council meeting and call to order the joint council improvement agency. And may we have a roll call, please?
Here.
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 Here. Whoops. thank you, Donna. The first item on the agenda is the Improvement Agency Consent Agenda. And do we have any questions? Well, excuse me. We should have public communications first. Lady here, this is about...
Mr. Mayor, what I'd like to do is make a couple of introductory remarks and then hand it over to Gayla, if you will. Essentially, as we knew back in the beginning of this fiscal year, it was going to be a very difficult time for us. The purpose of coming forward to you with these quarterly reports in a timely way is to make sure that you're kept up to date with our financial situation. There are going to be some tough decisions and continue to be tough decisions ahead. But by way of summary, as you'll recall in June, the council basically was able to adopt a budget that was dependent on two or three different things in the general fund occurring. One of those was that we would be able to negotiate personnel reductions amounting to about $185,000. To report on that, we have continued to work with all of the labor associations. We have agreements with all, as I think we've indicated, with the exception of the POA, Police Officers Association. Those are still we're still in discussion. We're optimistic that those will be resolved soon. But obviously the ability to implement the budget strategy, if you will, as the council had adopted it, is dependent upon reaching that goal. The other was the use of $100,000 in current general fund reserves, as well as carryover from the previous year that amounted to about $172,000. I think what I wanted to say as a part of my lead-in comments is simply keep in mind as you look at these first quarter figures that the first quarter is tough to estimate year end based on one quarter set of numbers. Obviously, as we continue through the fiscal year, we'll continue to see trends that will develop. Right now, as you'll see from Gala, within the general fund, it appears that our revenues are going to be slightly below what we projected. And expenditures right now seem to be coming in just about where they should be for this time of year. Have to work harder and find ways of doing things differently. In some cases, that may be a greater dependence on volunteer assistance where we can. It may depend on it may mean reductions in services, though obviously that's something that we will want to approach very, very carefully. Anyway, I did want to mention that to get the ball rolling for next year, department heads will be meeting within the next month to begin to outline a series of options that we will ultimately return to you with and how to deal with next year's difficult times. With that, I'd like to introduce Gayla Chapman, our Administrative Services Director, and she'll take you through the base report, and then we'll both be available for questions that you might have.
Honorable Mayor and City Council, tonight we're presenting the Fiscal Year 11 First Quarter Budget Review. If it decides to move. Somehow it didn't open. Let's try this. There we go. The fiscal year 11 budget originally was adopted using $172,265 in carryover funds from fiscal year 10. In essence, that is using reserves because those funds would have gone into the reserve fund if we were not in a deficit position for this year. Fiscal year 11 also has budgeted deficit of $278,849, which was on top of the carryover funds. To reduce the deficit, staff has entered into negotiations with employee organizations to reduce personnel costs by approximately $185,000 or 5%. As the city manager has stated, currently we have successfully negotiated with the city manager, executive management, management confidential, and service employees international union. And we are currently in negotiations with the Grover Beach Police Officers Association. Along with that, we are planning on using approximately $100,000 in reserves in order to finish up fiscal year 11. Property taxes current unsecured are estimated to be down approximately $3,000. Property transfer taxes appear as though they will be approximately $5,000 down from budget. Recreation class fees, $11,400. Recreation facility rentals down $13,000. Vehicle code fines that are issued by the county, $17,000. And criminal fines and penalties down by $25,000, which will give us a total of $16,400 less in general fund revenues for fiscal year 11. The property taxes current secured, as I said, is affected by the state's triple flip, which changed property taxes for sales tax and motor vehicle and lieu fees. The sales taxes at this time are higher, at this time are estimated to be slightly higher than budgeted. Sale of property needs to be completed prior to fiscal year end in order to keep from increasing the general fund deficit. As you will remember, we have $300,000 in sale of property to the improvement agency for low and moderate housing purposes. Our expenditures, I have listed here all of the departments. Currently, the departments are pretty much within what you would expect for the first quarter of the year. During the first quarter of the year, we prepay all of our workers' compensation and insurance payments for the year. So some of the accounts will show slightly higher than the 25% that's budgeted. Expenditures are being kept to a minimum. Revenues are estimated, as I said, to be $16,400 lower than budget. The budgeted balance is using approximately $100,000 in reserves and $185,000 in reduction from salaries. And staff is going to begin addressing the $811,000 deficit for fiscal year 12. For the Water Enterprise Fund, we have currently received 16.4% of our revenues. The revenues do accrue to the fund late because it's basically after the fact we bill in arrears for the water fund. The large expenditures are due to Lopez Zone 3's first payment was made in July. The County Zone 3 staff has informed the city that a credit in the amount of $75,000 will be received with our second payment, which is due in January. So our payment there will be $75,000 less than making this week. So that's why one reason why the amounts seem a little low. The special event fund for the city was anticipating a deficit of $27,200 in this fund this year. During the fiscal year 11 budget hearings, it was determined that special events, in order for them to continue, they would need to be self-sufficient. Staff is tracking all time, including salaries and benefits, in order to see which special events have sufficient revenues to cover expenditures. An analysis will occur prior to the fiscal year 12 budget review of all special events held to date. And currently, our revenues are 47.5% of what we were expecting, and our expenditures are 59.9% of what was budgeted, and we still have several special events still to go for this year. The improvement agency revenues for Agency Area 1 Administrative Fund are anticipated to be $40,000 less than original projections. That's based on county estimates. And the revenues for Agency 1 Low and Moderate Housing Fund is projected to be $39,000 less than the original projections. With our skate park fund, the revenues are currently at 29.3% of what was budgeted, and the expenditures are at 59.9% of what was budgeted. The skate park is subsidized by the general fund this year for $5,000, and it will be also for fiscal year 12 per our budget document. The staff applied for a $77,500 grant from the Nichols Foundation The city will be informed in February if the grant is awarded, and that can go towards subsidizing the skate park fund. Expenditures will decrease in coming months due to seasonal closures, and the skate park revenues have dropped by more than 55% since 2006. This year, we also did something new with the skate park fund. We are closed during the school year except the weekends, which is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, with limited hours during the school year. The building and planning fund, the revenues are currently at 10.2% of what was projected, and expenditures are at 15.7% of what was expected. The fees are based on actual staff time. Deposits are taken for building and planning projects. Four deposits were collected during the first quarter of fiscal year 11, where 11 deposits were collected during the same time in fiscal year 10. The Grover Beach Lodge and Conference Center Environment Impact Report is initiated on the Grover Heights Elementary Safe Routes to School project, and approximately 60% of the bid package development for Long Branch Avenue project has been completed. And I've also made a list, which is in your packet, of all of the cash balances. And as you can see, our general fund as of the first quarter was at $982,267. Wastewater fund, $2,671,944. And I don't know if you want me to go through all of these, Mr. Mayor.
No.
And that concludes the report. Do you have any questions?
Do we have any questions from staff?
No, not here.
I have a question, but I didn't know. Did you want to continue on?
I just wanted to make a remark, if I could, regarding the special event funds. That is going to be a very critical area, obviously, for us to watch for the coming year. I will say that a couple of things about that. The Concert in the Park series was very successful. And, you know, we took donations almost every Sunday. And we've seen a significant increase in the revenues, for instance, in that project or that event. But we will still need to push harder to see if we can't make that totally cost recovery. And when we talk about cost recovery, right now, it is all the, if you will, the direct costs are being covered, the cost of the bands, the cost of, direct activities. The things that we're still needing to track and cover are staff costs, which are still very real costs. And unless they're met, they end up having to come out of the general fund. And that's why it's such a significant concern for us. The other, in terms of the skate park, they have a higher expenditure period going into it, but hopefully with some of the seasonal closure, that will mitigate itself somewhat.
Thank you.
Do you have a question?
Yes, I did. Thank you. The non-departmental, can you...
Any other questions or comments? No. I believe this was receive and file. Then I will entertain a motion.
I'll move that we receive and file the reports submitted by staff.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Moving on to the next item, which is the status report on the Grover Beach Lodge and Conference Center project.
Looking good.
Mr. Perot.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, members of the council and the executive board. The council board designated the Grover Beach, as we all know, Lodge and Conference Center as the top economic priority during our goal-setting session. The council board, the last meeting, requested a status report, and essentially that's what you have before you this evening. Just by way of a little bit more detail, under the joint authority agreement approved by the city, the agency, the city is partnering with the state Parks Department, as we know, and to bring this project to fruition. Right now, today, the project area consists of 13 acres located predominantly at the west end of Grand Avenue, and Pacifica Companies, headquartered in San Diego, is under contract with the city and state to construct the facility. As envisioned, the project will consist of a resort hotel with 150 rooms and will include the construction of several amenities available to the project. Since the beginning of the year, the Joint Authority has been meeting every 6 weeks to make progress on this project. As a result of these meetings, things have changed. If you may recall, at one point, the project was considerably smaller, 7.5 acres, and only 135 rooms. Together with the discussions with Pacifica and the state, it really has gone from a very specific project to more of a master planned project that uses a better makes better use of the entire site down there, as well as identifies an increased level of public amenities that ultimately 45 days. There were really two key factors in the delay. One of those was that conceptual grading and drainage plan based on the project's design is absolutely necessary to finish what's called the project description. And the project description really gets you started from the started on the environmental impact report. You really don't get to go forward until you get that nailed down. So this was very necessary. And during the summer, the Pacifica decided to change the project engineer before the drainage plan had been drafted. So consequently, the drainage and grading plan wasn't received here until September. The other factor, which was a key one, was really the location of the equestrian facilities. So, you know, there was quite an issue with that. And, you know, Pacifica had a difficult decision to make. That decision was to whether to continue with the project with the to include the staging area on the south side of Grand, or to basically revise the project and include that staging area on the existing site. Ultimately, what Pacifica decided to do was leave it where it presently is, but also included an alternate to be considered as part of the EIR that would place that staging area on the project site. The advantage of taking this approach is the whole project didn't have to be radically redesigned, as might have had to have happened otherwise, and that would have further delayed the completion of the project description. As it is now, we're in what is called the EIR itself is being developed. The administrative draft is expected to be returned in accordance with the schedule on November 17th, I believe. And the public review period, which is a 45-day period, would actually begin on December 15th. That essentially would ultimately lead to hearings concludes staff's report on the matter. Again, this is a receive and file report recommendation. Staff is available to answer any other questions you might have.
Questions?
I had one. When you just mentioned that we could perhaps expedite the entitlement process by scheduling special meetings of the Planning Commission and/or Council, and also you mentioned in the report, the written report, that could result in increased costs.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if that's if we were able to just reorganize meetings without having additional meetings. So, for instance, if it would make it faster for the council to meet a week earlier, does it cost more to change meeting dates, or is the additional cost to do with adding meetings?
It's probably adding meetings, but what I would suggest, as we get a little bit closer to the end of the schedule, you'll have a better idea as to if you want to consider a meeting as to what will work out. Obviously, you don't want to incur any additional costs if you don't want to. And if at the bottom line, all you're saving is a week or two, then it doesn't matter a lot. If you're saving additional time, let's say a month or so, then it may be worth considering.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Myers.
I have a real simple question I should already know the answer to. I was asked the other day, how big is the, how many rooms will this hotel have? And I don't recall
it's
that.
150 rooms.
150 rooms, thank you.
I guess just so to clarify then, so right now we're projected, or we are about 6 weeks behind the original schedule for the EIR.
Right. And of course, the other element to this is once you get done with this, it's important to recognize that it gets passed along to the Coastal Commission. Sure. So once you've finished this part of it, it still has another long period to go.
Exactly. Okay. Well, it was a good report. I enjoyed it, and I really appreciate the attachment, the site plan, and the legend and all. Thank you.
And the one question I have is, when does it go to the Coastal Commission?
Well, after it's been completed at the local process. So if the local process completes here somewhere between April and May, then it would be sent along to the Coastal Commission.
Okay. So it's at the completion of everything that we've got here. We can't go to the Coastal Commission until then.
No.
Okay. That's all I have. I would open this up for public comment. However, we don't have any public here, so we won't do it. This is another file.
Recommendation is to receive and file.
Receive and file.
So do we need to make a motion?
Yes.
Okay, then I'll make that motion that we receive and file.
I'll second
status
it.
Report.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. I believe we should go back to the city, back to the city council meeting, so that we can have any council member items. There are none on the agenda. Does anybody have anything they wish to bring up? If not, then the city manager, do you have any reports or comments?
Just I had communications, whoops. Though.
Oh, excuse
I'm sorry.
Me.
That's okay.
Yes.
I had some communications.
Please.
I just wanted to say that in the neighborhood where I live, on Brighton Avenue, I've had some reports from a couple of the neighbors that we are having increased drug trafficking. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how really to go with that, but those were comments that I received from our residents, and so I just thought I would put that out there.
Could I respond to that a little bit?
Please.
My suggestion, a very strong suggestion, is anything that's being observed that anyone construes as that type of activity should be reported as soon as possible to the police department. Sometimes, you know, people just tend to say, it's somebody else's responsibility. But the only way that the police department's going to know exactly what's going on in the neighborhoods is if people are really doing their part in terms of making those kinds of reports.
So when they see something that looks to them to be of that nature, they should call the police department?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So city manager's reports and comments?
The only report and comment that I have is I wanted to report on the second Grover, or the third actual Grover Beautiful Day. It was initiated by the mayor. I know he would have wanted to be present if at all possible. But we went ahead anyway in the spirit of things. And as it turned out, we had a good dozen people that showed up. Councilmember Peterson and Mayor Pro Tem Nichols were among the group. And I just want to say there was a broad range. I mean, we had everything from concerned citizens that happened to read about it, showed up. We had a good group of young adolescents that were there and worked very hard for the entire 3 or 4 hours we were out there. And we actually completed some work along Grand Avenue in terms of cleaning the weeds up and getting things swept up, etc. Had good positive contacts with the business community in that area. And then a few of us also worked over at Ramona Park at the demonstration garden and cleaned that up a bit as well. And I just wanted to mention that the next date would be the third Saturday in November, which I believe is November 20th. So everyone can kind of make a note of that. That would be our next Grover Beautiful date.
Thank you, Bob. How far did they get up Grand Avenue going east?
They worked hard the entire time. It's interesting. They got four blocks done. They went from 4th to 8th. Okay. And I think if you're out there driving in the vicinity, you really can see the difference.
When we were out looking at pavement today, there were several areas further up that we need to get to in future programs that we have. All right, thank you very much. City Attorney, do you have any reports or comments? Okay, with that, we shall go into closed session. We have just one item on closed session, Council.
Thank you. Council intends to meet in closed session on one item, which is negotiation with labor organization, the Grover Beach Police Officers Association.
Thank you.